following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to turn 15 of A Worthy Opponent, a Blizzard, well, it's not a Blizzard, I do that every week, a podcast dedicated to the Blizzard game Hearthstone. I am the ever-fumbling-with-my-words Blacklace.
And I'm Autumnsbane, who goes second so that Blacklace could do all the fumbling for me.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Turn 2 is better.
Turn 2? That's another podcast.
No.
Stop that.
Going second is better.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, anyway, yes, we are on turn 15. Woo! We have lasted 15 podcasts now.
We have.
So thank you all for listening. Hoping we are still entertaining you and you're still actually learning from us. We have some
Hearthstone... They listen just to hear you flub.
Yeah, right. They have, we have some, stop it, Hearthstone trivia tonight, as well as we are going to continue with our it's a secret. We can start with the trivia and some news and some forum stuff. I'm going to just start with a little information I got. I was wondering who the heck Valera was. She is the rogue that we see when we play the rogue.
The rogue. Valera the rogue. Sanguinar.
Yes. And I was like, I don't know her. I know everybody else. I've heard of everybody else, but she seems to be the quiet little one hiding in the back. Well, typical for a rogue. But they did actually list some more information on her. Found out that she basically was arrested and imprisoned for a failed attempt at stealing. I guess she was a little rogue. And she was sold and trained to be a gladiator, where she saw fought side by side with Brawl Bearmantle and someone known as Ghost Wolf, who Logosh, who didn't know who he was. We all know who he is now, but he didn't know who he was when he was fighting side by side with her.
Varian Wrynn.
Yes. So she fought with him. They made a great trio. They kept each other alive, and afterwards he gave her a home in Stormwind, which she felt very much at home in. And I searched all over Stormwind. She's nowhere to be seen. So I'm hoping they actually bring her character into the game, especially if they've got her as important enough to be the rogue of Hearthstone. I'm hoping that people wandering Stormwind will see her. We saw her, what? Not the Siege of Orgrimmar. What is the other thing?
The Undercity.
Right. She was there fighting beside Wrynn then, but we don't really see a lot of her.
Well, the last time we actually saw her, if I remember correctly, is in the pre-launch world event at Stormwind Harbor. She appeared beneath a statue complaining about the hospitality of the Alliance and urging the Alliance and Horde to remain focused on the threat of the Lich King. And I don't think we've seen her since.
We haven't, except in Hearthstone as the rogue. So it's kind of nice, a little bit of trivia about where she comes from, but I just wish they'd make her a little more well-seen. We need more ladies.
You want some more trivia?
Sure.
Her name is derived from the Latin word sanguine, meaning blood.
Okay.
She's a blood elf rogue.
Yes.
And she's featured in DC Unlimited's World of Warcraft Series 1 action figure set.
And she's in comic book, I believe.
Mm-hmm. The World of Warcraft comic.
Yep. So she's there. It's just she's not as prevalent in the actual Warcraft game. But I'm glad to see her in the Hearthstone, because we need more female characters. We only have two.
There's not a lot of popular rogues in World of Warcraft. I guess you get the SI7 folks.
Right. And you would have thought maybe one of them would have been... Well, I think they wanted to do a female, because the only female they had was Jaina.
Well, that's fine. We need more females, and we need more other races, because this orc thing is for the birds. There's too many orcs. Gul'dan is an orc. Thrall is an orc. Garrosh is an orc. Even Rexxar is part orc.
That's true.
Too many orcs.
But it was a nice little interesting ditty that they put up on the Hearthstone website that... talked about her. They do that on, little by little, they're doing all of the main characters in the cards. And hopefully when they give us additional ones, they'll do more. You had some interesting information about go ahead.
I had a few things. First, there's news. Blizzard, Activision, had their quarterly, their quarterly dividends, earnings conference call, they call it. And, they made some announcements and, they're telling that their, stockholders and such about Hearthstone, the new free-to-play digital collectible card game for Windows, Mac, and iPad. Millions
wow,
of players.
Wow, that makes it sound something coming out soon.
Mm-hmm. Millions of players globally in open beta on PC. iPad release expected soon. Coming to iOS and Android later in 2014.
I'm so looking forward to that.
That's pretty good news. Here's another piece of news, which I don't think you heard, since Hearthstone is the love child of World of Warcraft. They ended 2013 with 7.8 million subscribers, and that's up 200,000 subscribers. We're just used to hearing, oh, WoW lost more subscribers, WoW lost more subscribers. They're actually up. Maybe people are being excited about the fifth expansion, the Warlords of Draenor, and they're coming back for it. Or
maybe. Did they say how many people are in active open beta now? Has that been released yet?
In Hearthstone?
Uh-huh.
I have not seen an exact figure other than the fact that they said millions.
Nice. Now that
millions is a big number.
It is a big number. That can be skewed as well, though, however, if people make multiple accounts. And I had something to say about the multiple accounts ideas.
Well,
and
why
then
don't you
Blizzard
talk
had
about it?
I'm going to. And then Blizzard had something to say about them as well. There was a recent post 6 days ago. Today is February 10th. So this was last week. Bob Witch Doctor posted his idea. He was basically lamenting the fact that he can't play more practice of Arena. And, you know, because with Arena play, you have the drafting. And you get to play decks you're not familiar with and draft cards that you're not familiar with. So he came up with this huge idea. He basically said, since entry fees can restrict the repeated access and the lack of practice arena prevents people from playing the game mode as much as they may like, the best way to practice and get experience with arena play is to create more accounts to play on. He says it doesn't take long to get the initial noob quests done, which I think are actually fun. I would love to revisit it. But he also goes on to say, and get a nice pile of gold going, and don't forget the free arena entry you get with each account. After struggling with his first couple of attempts, he got 5-3 with his last two arena runnings, his alt account. So he's saying he wants to practice. Long end of the story, he thinks that since the accounts are free and the game is free to play, that there's no reason to slog through the daily gold restriction. Just go wholehearted and make bunches and bunches and bunches and bunches of accounts. And Blizzard said, oh no. He basically, that is against the end user license agreement. Just so everybody knows, don't make more than three accounts because you can get suspended or terminated for the making of additional accounts. In the end user license agreement, it says the maximum amount of accounts you are able to register on battle.net is three. Not one, not two, but three.
That sounds
so
like
don't
a lot.
Do it. Three's a lot. I think three's a lot. So basically, they say that above that is going to violate the rules, so you can get suspended or terminated. So don't do it. Don't. Just play a couple and be patient, and they'll learn, and they're tweaking things. So maybe they'll do arena practice modes. That would be nice. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that people should be stopped from trying to game the system whenever possible. Just play the game and have fun. Stop trying to cheat all the time.
Agreed.
We were playing World of Warcraft the other day, and we were in the Siege of Orgrimmar, and we're about to attack the Dark Shaman, which is a fight in the Siege of Orgrimmar instance, and the that it was looking for a group, and they're like, okay, major a hunter, go in there and reset the boss. And somebody had never seen it before. They're like, what are they trying to do? And I said, they're trying to work around the mechanics. They couldn't just go in there and pull the bosses out. They had to look for some way to get around it so that the bosses would reset. People just love to cheat the game. Oh, look, we found an exploit. Let's exploit it.
I kind of agree. It's kind of sad, but at the same time, I do understand what he's saying. I'd love to be able to practice drafts. I really would. There was that one app that would give you the ability to create three decks or a deck three times, but it really didn't give you the ability to try it out. So unless you had the cards and, you know, converted it from the app and put it right into your computer and you were lucky enough to have the cards that you actually drafted and then could play somebody else, it's not the same. We have practice modes and learning modes for regular play. Why not arena play?
That's interesting. A trial arena play.
Mm-hmm. Well, just practice.
Everybody would just do that instead of the regular one.
Not if they're not winning anything. No. Literally just practicing.
I think Blizzard needs a way to make its money, and Arena is the way that they're getting their pound of flesh.
True enough. So what else is out there in the world?
Well, there's some other stuff going on in the forums, not just people trying to cheat. Some guy posted that several months back, Blizzard told all players that when the game was released, all cards would be wiped and packs would be refunded upon the final release of the game. And Zoraya stepped right in and said, you know, the community manager that you were just talking about, says, we have never stated this. Then the person says, not much later, Blizzard decided to change their mind and not continue with any future card wipes. Again, Zoraya says, again, this is false. We have been very clear on our stance on wipes of Hearthstone cards and data, and we have continued to state repeatedly in blog content that we have no plans for any future wipes. We will not be doing any account-specific card wipes. So, I think people get hung up on that little loophole in the sentence when they say, there are no plans to. Everybody always takes that to mean, yeah, they don't plan to, but it doesn't mean they won't. Yeah,
well, that is kind of true, but I mean, that it doesn't mean they won't. The prerogative to do it.
Right. When they say we don't plan to, they really usually mean it's unlikely it's going to happen.
Exactly.
So stop harping on it.
It's true. I'm hoping they don't. I don't expect them to, because at this point, beta is almost like regular play now. We are still in beta, but. People have
Even
been doing
it. Beta.
Yeah, the people have been doing it for so long, have put money in and have put a lot of work into refining their decks. And at this point, unlike when they did it the first time to us, I had only been playing like 4 or 5 weeks when they did the first wipe. It was really pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And I think they probably got a lot of negative feedback. Oh my God, you got my cards. You know, I didn't get the same cards the next time, whatever. Made them take a look that it's really not necessary to do it. It's free to play. We're going to get the cards anyway. Eventually, play long enough, you're going to.
And at this point, I've dusted hundreds of cards. So to have to go through that all again and say, okay, let's see what I have that I didn't have before. Let's see what I lost. Let's dust all these cards and, okay, which ones do I make? Which ones did I make before? It would be a lot of homework.
If they completely wiped the cards, they would be wiping all our decks. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have my decks written down in a book so that if there was a wipe and all my decks disappeared, I would know exactly what cards I have. Now, some people know every single card in every one of their decks. I don't. I'm constantly tweaking and changing. And if they were to do a wipe, I mean, I'd have to go in the night before and sit there with my pen and paper and start scribbling really frantically.
Yeah. Well, you could also do the screenshot. That would be the easiest way.
True. Why don't you explain to people about that?
Well, we've mentioned it before that... you can do a print screen when you're in game, on pretty much any screen. So if you go into your decks, for example, I'll go into my mage deck and go into my collection. Dum-ba-da-dum-ba-dum.
Okay. Open up the mage.
So I open up my mage, and it shows suddenly all my mage cards. And I see all the cards listed on the right, and I hit
print screen,
and it says
right
screenshot save to desktop. Except now I have like 15 different things on my desktops, so I have to keep.
But if you delete all of them but one, that one will still open all the other screenshots.
Yeah, and then you could tab through from one to the next.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've apparently done a lot. I got a screenshot of something saying, today's quest, congratulations, medal earned last season. When there was a reset, when they did the reset of the new season, they actually told you what medal you earned last season. And it says, today's quest, congratulations. Oh, because this screen came up above. I was on the today's quest screen. And then it goes, congratulations, medal earned last season 17. And then there's the OK button. So I think each time when you first log in after a season reset, you're going to get that little congratulations, mm-hmm. and it tells you what. So for some reason, I chose to save that. I chose
That's
to
neat.
Save the screenshot of my 12, which was the best I ever got. And at the rate things are going, never get better than that. So yeah, I'm able to scroll through every screenshot I took, including the various decks that I made, the various decks that people have sent us that I've saved. So it's a really nice feature.
It is. And that's one of the newer features too. What was I going to say about total mind blank?
Did you want me to talk about the Twitch Stream Awards?
Yes, because I have no idea what I was going to say.
Okay. So Blizzard and Twitch did the Blizzard Stream Awards. We mentioned it last time. And I heard today from someone that they were pretty much over, but I think all that means is the voting has ended. I don't think Blizzard has actually announced any winners, but you can go to the site and you can click on each category and see all of the entrants and what percentage of the vote they got. So, for example, if you go to favorite new streamer of 2013, I went there to look to see if it was a Hearthstone. There were no Hearthstone streams actually even listed on this page, but someone named Jay Dong from StarCraft had 33% of the vote. But let's move along.
Jay Dong was in the was in BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. He's one of the winners. I think he was the big winner. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So for favorite Warcraft stream, it was somebody called Soda Poppin. Got 38% of the vote of all of the other entrants. Never heard of that person. But let's get back to, the community, the best community channel. Day 9 had 36%, did very well. But let's look for some Hearthstone stuff, okay? The Stream Awards, most educational stream, the highest percentage of votes was 43%, and that went to Trump for Hearthstone. So, We all remember Trump from at least the first round of the Invitational. The man who uses no taunts and lost to Artosis.
Artosis. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, the next thing that we go to was favorite Hearthstone stream. And there were a bunch of entrants, and the second place only had 13%. The last place had only 1%. But number one at 60%, beating out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 others. This one guy out of 10 got 60% all his own. It was Crip. So, and it specifically Arena. So Crip's Arena streaming just blew away everyone else.
That's
so
nice.
So, if anybody likes to watch streamed games, check out Twitch. And there's a lot of Hearthstone streams out there, as well as other Blizzard games. And apparently, Crip is the one to watch. Or Trump, because Trump won for educational. So if you're learning, and a lot of our listeners are still learning, then you might want to visit Trump SC.
And I did remember what I was going to say.
Okay, so I'm done talking about the stream, and you can talk about what you're going to talk about.
No, it's just a horrific week for ranked for me. I was blazing through, and well, blazing for me is, you know, I don't play very, very often because my job is weird hours. So I was very proud that within like the first couple of days, I got to rank 17. I was proud of myself, really moving forward.
17.
And now
nice.
I'm back at 19. Just lost all my stars, and I have this. I try again. I've told people that I will, you know, play once or twice, and if I start getting killed, I'll stop playing. Well, today I didn't stop playing. I won in ranked, but then I went to casual, and I lost 7 in a row, which is unusual. Very unusual. So I have no idea what was going on. Maybe it was the time of day. Maybe it was the decks I was playing. But I mean, I tried the Hunter. I tried the Mage. Mage is not as powerful as she used to be. Got a great card today with my Mage, but my new Legendary.
Did you hear what our friend said about the Mage?
What was that?
We have a buddy, good friend of ours, who's fairly new, didn't get into beta until very recently, long after us. And he was really doing quite well with the Mage deck and just kicking butt. Just soaring up the charts with his Mage, and after the most recent massive meta change in the nurse to the Mage, he says he's been able to kick butt with like 6 other hero classes, but he hasn't won anything with his Mage. The Mages have just taken a dive, apparently.
Well, the Hunter definitely came up, and the Warrior, I think, came up.
I've
seen some really awesome shaman decks lately, too.
What came up for me? I had 2 quests to play a druid. So I said, okay, time for me to go make that druid deck. And in the first 3 games I played, I won. With an untried deck. And the druid, once you get it going and you figure out how to play it, it's really fun to play. I enjoyed playing it, and then I had to switch over to do all my paladin quests that I got. But I'm starting to enjoy playing the druid, and I didn't get a chance to play as often as I would have because we went away this weekend. But I think I'm going to be playing the druid a little bit more and see what its potential is.
I really think it's a good idea for people to switch. I had been locked into the mage for a while, and then I tried a paladin, and I found just I really, really liked it. And then I tried the warrior, and I found I really, really liked it. And then I tried the rogue, and lo and behold, I really, really liked it. We won't talk about the priest. The other classes, I had promised last week that I was going to spend one more week with my warrior and then move on to either the druid or the shaman. I think I'll try the shaman this week. Oh, I didn't mean to leave out warlocks. Warlocks are fun too. But I think this week I'm going to specialize on the shaman and see how I do, because every one of them has its own little twists, special ways to play, little idiosyncrasies that match up and make it what it is for each class. I just love how they did that. They really did. There are distinctive differences.
And there are. And the good thing about the constantly changing quests that they give you is, whether you like it or not, it forces you out of your comfort zone. No, when I got 3 different quests for the rogue last week, I had no choice but to go and spend some time with the rogue, and I enjoyed doing it. And then when I had to switch over to the druid, I discovered something I didn't even know about a class that I ended up liking. Long ago, many, many years ago, we took a young man under our wing and taught him Magic the Gathering, and he went ballistic. I mean, this kid, he had to collect every card. He went and worked for a card store and got paid in cards. He entered tournaments. And so, you know, after about a year or two, he was able to just annihilate us. And he's playing with this really small deck. And Black Lace and I have these big decks because we liked the variety. We liked having every game play differently. And he was like, no, that's no good. Every game must play exactly the same way. You must count on every card coming into your hand. You must know that this card is going to be in your hand by turn 4 in order to win. And he had it down to a science, like a lot of the high-end gamers, you know, in Hearthstone do. But that makes it predictable. I'm running into a similar problem with my hunter deck. My hunter deck is starting to get boring because I've played it so much and I win with it, you know, more than I lose.
That's just knowing what your cards are, knowing what your cards are going to do and what you're going to expect from them. I mean, that's something that you kind of want to do. So you know when you've got the cards that you need and you're going to play it. And then there are also the times that you're looking at your cards and you know this just isn't going to happen. So why waste the time to try to make it happen?
Yeah, but it's starting to be a little boring having the same thing done over and over again. So I like the diversity of being able to switch over to another hero class. And then, you know, after I've played a few, I could go right back and play that hunter some more. Because I do enjoy the hunter. But when that's all you play day in and day out, it gets boring. It's like anything else. I love filet mignon. I wouldn't want to eat it every single night. At least not after the first 2 months.
2 months of filet mignon. Okay. Well, since we're talking about the hunter, and since we did promise that we would discuss more secrets this week, why don't we jump into the hunter secrets?
Okay.
Are you ready?
No, let me open up my app so I can look at them all in a row.
Oh, boy.
You know, now that we're mentioning the hunter secrets, remind me to tell you what happened with the hunter playing secrets the other day. So let's go over them first. So there are five. So go ahead.
Yep, there are five secrets, and then there are two additional cards that basically have an event take place when a secret is played. With the hunter deck, your secrets are always going to be two mana.
Right. All hunter secrets are two mana.
Right. So with the hunter deck, as I said, all of the secrets are two mana. The odd cards are Flare, which basically is a one mana casting cost. It basically allows all minions lose stealth. You destroy all enemy secrets and you draw a card. Now, you don't use that, do you?
No, I don't. I think, in theory, it's a really good card. And if you were in a tournament and there was a sidebar situation where you could swap cards in and out, I could see a situation where you'd put it in. But every time I put it in my deck thinking it's going to be useful to me, I find that there's some other card I'd rather play instead and I take it out.
But there are four major classes that really works well against. If you are playing against a rogue, you can wipe off all of their stealth. If you're playing against a paladin or another hunter or a mage, you can destroy all the secrets that are out there. There are hunters that put in, I've seen three, four secrets at a time. Poof, one flare, all gone. And you draw a card. So even if just for that, our little gnomy friend, basically two mana, is a 1/1 creature, draw a card. This is a one casting cost. If for any other reason, you can trade a card for a card.
But remember, it's also trading a card. So you cast an ability that is only useful against 2/3 of the decks, and then you get to draw a card when you could have just had that better card in your hand to begin with. That's the way I look at it. I'm looking at the mathematical probability of having to waste the draw, waste the mana cost, and then...
But it's not a waste if there are two secrets on a mage.
No, you're absolutely right. If you're playing against another hunter, a mage, or a mage or a paladin, it's got its advantages. But also remember that the secrets... Most players that you play, they don't have secrets out there all game long. So it's also timing. So if you get the flare early on in the game, then yeah, it's going to be more useful. Unless it's a mage who inevitably is going to have that ice block at the very end.
Right, and it's there you go, though. It's at the very end because a mage secret costs 3. I'd be getting my minions out before I play my secrets.
Yeah, that would be actually a killer blow. I'd love to see that played against a mage in the last turn. The mage is like, oh, I have one more turn because you can't kill me with my ice block. Flare.
Surprise.
Goodbye. So, yes, I'm not saying it doesn't have its usefulness. I just haven't found the desire to have it ahead of other cards. And
right.
I may force myself to play with it just to see how it plays.
The other one is basically if you're playing a hunter, your weapon, the equipped weapon is very important. The Eagle Horn Bow, whenever a secret is revealed, you gain a +1 to durability. The card itself is 3 casting cost. It's a 3/2. What that means is that you can do 3 points of damage 2 times. But every time you put out a secret or your opponent puts out a secret, if that secret is revealed, that 2 times goes to 3 or 4 or 5. I'll sometimes hold off on actually expending that card if I'm going to be putting out secrets, because I can know that I'm going to up the number of times I can strike for 3 points of damage.
Did you
Unless
I tell
the
you
news
about
comes
my
out.
My huge faux pas the other day?
Mm-mm, please tell.
I played a secret, and then I played the Eagle Horn Bow, and I guess I just wasn't paying attention. I used up all the charges on the bow before the secret went off.
Silly.
Oops.
So, the secrets for the hunter, there are 5 of them. The first one is the explosive trap. That's one of my favorites. Basically, the secret is up, and when your hero is attacked, it deals 2 damage to all enemies. That includes your opponent's hero.
Yes, that's a nice little bonus that the hero and not just the minions.
Yeah, you can basically it could be a board clearer. Again, you sometimes may want to hold the secrets in your hand. Again, as we had mentioned before, just because you have the card in your hand doesn't mean you need to play it right away. Sometimes holding on to it for a while is the best way to do it. So I would hold the secret until I know he's going to attack me and he's got a couple creatures out there. I'll throw my secret down at the end of my turn. I know the attack is going to come for me. And then suddenly, whoosh, explosion. It's explosive trap. That's one of my favorites. Next up, Autumn's Bane.
Okay. So let's go with Freezing Trap. Secret. When an enemy minion attacks, return it to its owner's hand, and it costs 2 more.
Meh.
I don't use it much, but there are a couple of circumstances where it might be useful in late game. Let's say somebody puts out one of those legendaries that costs 9, and then you send it back to its hand, it can't come back again.
Ever.
Yeah, nobody's
because
gonna
it
have...
will now cost 11
unless it's a druid. Unless it's a druid that could give itself extra mana crystals.
Or if they're holding on to one of those mana cards.
And I don't know what... Yeah, the coin, but
the
I
coin.
Don't know if... I don't think druids can even add additional mana beyond the 10. I'll have to try that out. I've
That's
never tried
really
it.
Yeah, I could see. I was saying meh, but you're right. At end game, that could be a very ouchy card. Misdirection is the next one. When a character attacks your hero, he instead attacks another random character, and that could be on either side. You can wind up hitting yourself.
Yeah, it doesn't say random enemy. It says random character. And keep in mind, misdirection is also rare. The other two we've mentioned were common. This is a rare.
Right. Now be careful with that. Again, if you're going to be casting that secret, make sure that you have enough on the board that you can protect yourself if it winds up misdirecting to one of your own tunes, one of your own minions.
The next trap is my favorite hunter trap, although it's a little less favorite recently. After they nerfed release the hounds, but since they made unleash the hounds a little bit better, this is again still a little bit better. But let's tell you what it is. It's snake
that
trap.
That was a lot of circular talking.
It was circular logic talking. When one of your minions is attacked, summon 3/1/1 snakes. This is an epic. I actually made one, and then I got another one. What I like about this is that if I have my starving buzzard out, and then this trap goes off, I get to draw 3 cards.
Likewise, if you have one of those cards out that basically gets +1/+1 whenever something is killed, when a minion is killed, it can add to that as well.
And if you are playing a wolf in your hunter deck, which I think most hunters do, then suddenly they're 2/1.
No, are they 2/1 or 2/1? 2/1. See, well, I don't play the hunter much.
Yeah. So, but in any event, it's kind of nice. Somebody attacks you, and then suddenly you've got 3/1/1 minions out there.
And on your turn, they're ready to strike. It's not like they're sleeping on your turn.
Yes, they do have the sleeping sickness. It's not like Unleash the Hounds, where they you know, get charged.
They appear on your turn. Yeah, yes. Your opponent attacks you. They appear on your side. When your turn comes, if they are still alive, you can strike with them because there is no summoning sickness, right?
That's what I said. What are you talking about?
We can rewind.
No, that's all right. Rewind nothing.
And lastly, it's Snipe, which sounds like it should be a rogue ability, but since rogues don't have secrets, I'm sorry, rogues have secrets, they just don't tell them. When your opponent plays a minion, deal 4 damage to it. That's ouch. And again, yeah, that's another one you want to do a little bit later in the game because, you know, you don't want to waste that on a 1/1 Murloc.
Exactly.
Well, maybe you do, but
this is one of the traps I use in my hunter deck, and I usually will not put it out before the third turn. So like between the third and the sixth turn, that's when those creatures that it's going to matter to are going to show up and then be killed outright. So yeah, it's kind of nice.
Do you know, way back when I was in high school, we won't say how long ago, I took
way back when.
I am going to walk into the other room and hit him after the show, just letting everybody know that.
Because when
you
had driver's ed, you had the cars where you run on the ground with your feet like the Flintstones.
Shut up. Trying to make a point here.
Okay.
Way back when in driver's ed, I was trying to understand why, you know, watching what the car in front of us is going to do is important, and I kind of made an analogy to the teacher who liked how I said it, something to the effect of, you're not driving just for yourself, but you're driving for the person in front of you, so you're trying to figure out what's going to happen, why he's going to do something. Put this into play with this game. You're driving to see what your opponent is going to do next. So thinking on that level, you're going to wait. Hold your cards. Don't just throw them out because you've got the open mana. Give it a chance for them to do something that will allow your secrets to really impact.
Yep.
Okay.
And when you're playing against the traps, the same thing. So just today, I was playing against a hunter, and I had a couple of minions out. And it's like poker. You have to figure, well, which trap is he going to use? So I'm finding that the most commonly used trap out there these days is the explosive trap. But there's the chance he's going to have the snipe. So I've got my minions on the board. I have another minion I was going to cast, but I didn't want to cast it yet. Because if it is the explosive trap, then I'm just throwing down another card that's going to get blown up. So he's got two minions. I said, okay, if one of mine attacks and they all end up dying, then they're just going to waste. So as soon as the hunter put the trap down, I decided to start trading minions. So I took out each of his minions with each of my minions. And so I took out some of his. I didn't just attack him, let them all blow up and die and leave him with a side full of minions. I killed his minions first. And then with my surviving minion, I attacked, and lo and behold, it was the explosive trap. I lost one creature in the process. I would have lost three, but I got to take two of his out. And then, now that I've ruled out the fact that it was not a snipe, I put down my next creature and charged for it.
So, see, you're driving for the other guy.
Yeah, so you have to strategize and try to figure out what secret is he playing, how do I take the least damage and play him in the proper order to get them across.
Okay, so moving on from the hunter, we go to the last one, which is mage, and once again, there are 4 secrets for the paladin at 1, 5 secrets for the hunter at 2, and that makes 6 secrets for the mage with a casting cost of 3.
And of course, because they have a higher casting cost, they're better for the most part.
They're all better. They really are. They're pretty awesome. Again, we have 2 cards that impact secrets on the mage side. One is the Curantor Mage. It's a 3 casting cost, 4/3 creature. Battlecry is the next secret you play this turn costs 0. So if you use up all your mana, you get a free secret at the end of your turn. The other is the Ethereal Arcanist. If you control a secret at the end of the turn, gain +2/+2. And it's a 4 casting cost, 3/3 creature. So boom, there's a secret at the end of that turn. When you cast him, if you do it at the same time, you can suddenly have a 5/5 out there. Would you like to start off on the secrets for the mage?
Sure. The first one we'll talk about is Counterspell, which is a rare secret. When your opponent casts a spell, counter it. This is the closest thing I have seen in the game to an interrupt spell from Magic the Gathering. That's what I wish that this game had a little more of, the ability to thwart your opponent on his turn, or her turn, of course. And it's kind of cool when you've got the secret down and somebody throws a pyroblast at you and suddenly it's gone. But, you know, as we've said before, people will poke at you and try to break through your armor one chink at a time. So people are not typically going to cast a huge spell at you when you have a secret and, you know, when you have a secret hidden on a mage, you're not going to cast a big spell against it. You're going to, you know, do a little one-point shot or something like that.
Poke carefully. It's like poking a snake with a stick. Not that I ever do that, but,
I would
you
never
know.
Poke a snake with a stick.
To see if it's alive. You just kind of poke at your opponent to see what that secret might be. I have ever so carefully, if there's a hunter secret, I will throw a 1/1 creature at it to see if it does 2 damage across the board, and then cast my minions once I know that I'm safe. The next mage secret is the Ice Barrier, which is a very popular common. As soon as your hero is attacked, you gain 8 armor. That's pretty nice.
It's a nice way to keep the game running a little longer, to preserve your life, because one of the things they call mages in Warcraft is that they're called glass cannons, because they can put out a lot of damage, but they're easy to take down. So this sort of prevents them from being glass cannons. And I've seen this card used a lot in combinations where players are playing the giants, the molten giant, I think it is, that it costs less for each damage you've taken. Mm-hmm. So you could take a lot of damage, but what you do is you have the armor up. 8 armor is like having 8 health. But as far as the molten giant's concerned, it doesn't matter how much armor you have. So that's a good combination, and I know it is because the mage who played it against me last week beat me.
It's a nice card.
Yeah, but, you know, a nicer card is the next one. It's an epic called Ice Block. When your hero takes fatal damage, prevent it and become immune this turn. So immune is the game turn. That means you can't take any more damage. Nobody can hurt you any further. We've mentioned it before from a couple of other things. There's a bow that the hunters have for 7 mana that'll do 5 damage and make you immune. It's really good at trying to kill, you know, a heavy-duty beast or minion, I should say, that only needs to take 5 damage but could do a lot of damage to you like a normal bow would. So I don't see immune too many times in the game. But this is where I see it the most, when mages cast Ice Block. And I once used it. I had 2 of these cards in my hand. I used it 2 consecutive turns, and there was nothing that my opponent could do to kill me during those 2 turns. There was just enough time for me to get the pyroblasts off and kill it. So I can see why it's an epic. This is perhaps, in my opinion, the best secret in the mage arsenal.
I don't know. I kind of like the next one, which is a common, Mirror Entity. What Mirror Entity does is when your opponent plays a minion, you summon a copy of it. So again, this is a card. If I have it in my hand, I'm going to wait until my opponent has 7, 8, 9, or 10 mana, because I know that the next beast coming out is probably going to be a biggie. Mirror entityed Ragnaros. I really was happy when that happened.
How?
They cast Ragnaros. I had Mirror Entity up. When they cast it, my secret went off, and I suddenly had a copy of Ragnaros on my side.
I guess that would, playing the odds by that phase of the game, the mage probably just, your opponent probably just didn't have many small minions left.
No, especially when, when you get, that's why I keep it till they have, 7, 8, 9 mana. When they're built up that's when I'll throw my Mirror Entity out. I don't want to waste it on the third turn, because what am I going to get? I'll get a 1-1 wolf or something like that. I don't want that. I want the big guns.
Okay, you sold me. The next one is also an epic. When an enemy casts a spell on a minion, summon a 1/3 as the new target. Now, we were discussing this last week before the show, and we never actually got to talk about it in the show. But the cool thing about this is it works on benevolent spells as well. So when an enemy casts a spell on a minion, that could mean I'm going to give my wolf +4/+4 to attack you. And then your secret goes off, your spellbender goes off, and no. Now you have a 1/3 creature, and it now has a +4/+4. So,
with taunt.
Well, I didn't say it had taunt.
But I think there's a +4/+4 taunt. So if that actually goes on to your side, you suddenly have a 5/7 creature with taunt on your side. I would be hearing them cursing all the way over here.
It's just a very nice addition to the card, because I think most players, especially the new players, when they first see this card, they're thinking, oh, if he casts a fireball at my taunt creature, it's going to be redirected to this creature that suddenly appears to take the fire. And people may not, it's not as intuitive to think, oh, if he casts a good spell on his own creature, it'll come over to me. So there's another reason not to cast beneficial spells on your own minions while there were secrets in play, because it might be Spellbender.
Yeah, and again, the mages, they've just got the best secrets. They really do. The last one they have is Vaporize. This is a rare, and the secret here is when a minion attacks your hero, destroy it. Boom. Yes, exactly. Gone. No damage taken to you. It's just destroyed, vaporized. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But again, you got to remember, it's when a minion attacks your hero. So if you've got somebody coming at you with other things like fireballs, that secret's never going to go off.
This card reminds me of the Paladin card that we discussed last week, which we said was not very good. Eye for an eye. When your hero takes damage, deal that much damage to the enemy hero. It's similar, except that it's working against minions and not heroes.
It totally annihilates your minion. I mean, if you're coming over with an 8/8 molten giant, I mean, it's gone.
But remember what we've been saying all along, you want to poke at the secrets with small creatures. So I bet there's a lot of times you put that vaporize out and then poof, some 1/1 creature, pops it, or, send your leper gnome at it, so that when it gets destroyed, they at least take damage in the process. Which I actually did. A mage had a secret in play, and I said, let me attack it with my leper gnome, and it turned out to be vaporized, and so she destroyed it. Big deal. She took 2 damage, and I lost my gnome. Better than losing a bigger creature. So it really sounds like a great spell, and it could have its usefulness, but it's risky. You can end up just destroying a weenie.
Yeah, well, my deck basically has 2. It's got Ice Barrier, and it's got Mirror Entity, and that's it. I don't have any of the other secrets.
Ice Barrier? Oh, because you don't have Ice Block yet in your collection.
I do have one. I do have one ice block.
And you're not using it?
Mm-mm. Well, my deck is balanced right now, so I almost worry about taking cards out.
Okay. That happens to me all the time. This is working. I better not change anything.
You don't mess with it. So that basically puts an end to the secrets. Again, I just think that the mage has the best, absolutely the best secrets. The others are fun. Paladins, I think Wizard can do a little work with them. As I've mentioned last week, there was only one that I really liked, which was Redemption, which allows you to have your minion return as a whatever the damage and one life.
Well, just
after it's killed.
Keep in mind that there's a cost to value ratio, and the paladins are all cheap spells. The mage has better secrets because they cost more. And I think that the hunters are pretty decent for two. Now, maybe in an expansion there'll be more secrets. Maybe some of the other classes would get secrets.
I can think of a couple ways that could go. I could think that maybe they don't want more secrets because they're trying to keep
the class
this
balanced.
Kind of thing. Yeah, whereas these have secrets, or you have combos with the rogue, just again specializations. Anything else you wanted to talk about? We didn't get any emails, unfortunately, to read to anybody this week.
No, the only email we got was from a fan who didn't make it to the chat room last week. We missed you, Reap. Glad you're back.
So we're going to draw to a close. Hopefully this has been a enlightening turn for you all with the newer secrets revealed. I'm hoping that they do continue to do secrets. I'm looking forward to seeing what Blizzard has in store for us. Since Autumn's Bane is being oh so silent, basically you can follow us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. You can look us up on iTunes. Give us a little message. Tell us how you think we're doing, what you want to see, what you want to hear, what you think of us. You can email us at awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at aworthyopponent. As always, have fun this week and happy hearthing.
Happy hearthing. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
I forgot to mention, if anybody knows how to get in touch with Blizzard PR, let us know. Because the email we found isn't working.
They are not listening to us, and we would love to interview people so that you can hear it.
Blizzard, get back to us.
Yes, if there's anybody from Blizzard listening to our podcast, please contact us at the above mentioned areas.
Tuning in to tonight's broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.